ॐ भरताय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन कृतितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीं अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धतामि भगवद्गीते भगवद्वैषिणी.
We are on verse 8, the 16th chapter. Asatyam apratishtante. Asatyam apratishtante. Jagad ahuramishwaram. Jagad ahuramishwaram. Aparas parasambhutam. Aparas parasambhutam. Kimanyat kamahetukam. Kimanyat kamahetukam. Asatyam apratishtante. Jagat ahuhu anishwaram. Aparas parasambhutam kim anyat kama hetukam. So Shankara introduces this verse just saying kincha. Kincha means further. Because in the previous verse, he really previous verse, he said the people who are asuras, these asuras, are people who, they don't know naviduhu, they don't know what is pravritti and what is nivritti in reference to the Vedas, in reference to the Dharma. They don't know. They don't have a value, and they don't know with any type of depth of understanding that you can say this is to be done, this is not to be done, but why shouldn't it be done? Why should it be done? Why shouldn't it be done? What difference does it make? So there's no knowledge that allows that pravritti. Pravritti means to go towards something, to do the right thing. Nivritti means to avoid doing the wrong thing. Right? And so these people don't have any clarity around that or any value. Nor also is there any mental purity, shaucham. Shaucham can be physical purity, cleanliness of the body, cleanliness of your environment. But here shaucham is that ability to be free of raga, dvesha, these likes and dislikes, and the hatred, and anger, and violence that can ensue in the mind when your ragas and dveshas aren't respected properly. You know, when my ragas are thwarted, my desires for this or that so that I can be happy are thwarted, and my dveshas, the things that I hate, are encroaching on me. So I don't have any way of dealing in the sura, has no way really of, no skills in being able to handle the mind. And so therefore they have a choice of kama or krodha. Either their desires are being fulfilled or they're angry. So this is what the reality that they're dealing with, this is what we're going to be seeing now in these verses as he continues. He says they're shaucham, they don't know how to deal with their emotions and their anger on a mental level. And also their achara, their conduct, also is not something that they have any control over. So they don't have good conduct, and their minds are also riddled with a lot of hatred and anger. And on top of that, they don't have any satyam. Satyam means that they don't have a value for truth, for telling the truth. And so the satyam's not there, good conduct is not there, dharmic conduct is not there, the mind is riddled with a lot of pain, a lot of rage, a lot of angry. Anger without any value to control it. We can have anger. Mm-hmm. We can have calmness. We can have anger. We can have pain inside. But there's a value to transform it. Because what higher value is Dharma. But what about when the higher value is not Dharma? And what about when Dharma and Adharma, this understanding, is not even in play? Whether this is Dharma or this is Adharma, that's not in play at all. What's in play is my anger when I when my desires and my anger when they're not fulfilled. That's what's in play. Okay? Not transforming them because of my value system. So that's the Asuric mind. So now, he says, and further. So it's going to be a lot of furthers and more verse after verse of further. So he says, here, he says, asatyam, okay, what they say is this, these people, te ahu, these asuras, these janaha, these people who are asuras, right? What they will say is that the jagat, and by jagat here they mean the people. Jagat means the world. So if I say the world, I'm not talking about the stones, I'm talking about the world of people. All people, they're asatyam. They're not honest. They don't tell the truth. Nobody does. Why do they say that? Shankara says, he says, there is satyam, yata vayam, he says, anrita prayaha, just as we, means me, just as we really don't have any, put any priority on the truth, just as I lie all the time, you know, everybody does. You know, I don't really have much value for telling the truth, neither does anybody else, you know. This is reality. Everybody lies. Apratishtam. Not only that, everybody lies. Nobody has, the world doesn't really value these ideas of dharma and adharma. The world isn't, people aren't based in dharma and adharma. Pratishta is to have a basis in something. And so here Shankara says that basis, you know, is dharma and adharma. So for them, there's no basis in dharma and adharma. Why they say dharma and adharma? Because my actions and what I choose to do, how I choose to live my life, the choices I make really are between dharma and adharma, not between raga and dvesha. It's between this is right and this is not right. Okay, this is dharmic, this is appropriate behavior. This behavior is something that's from within the kind of the Vedic culture. These behaviors are bliss. These behaviors result in punya. These adharmic behaviors result in papa. I avoid adharma. I avoid behaviors that are adharma that produce papa. I want to contain myself within the realm of dharma and punya. And so therefore, if a desire arises in my mind, I have permission to pursue that desire. I have a go-ahead to pursue that desire if it's dharmic. And if I pursue it in a dharmic way, if it conflicts with dharma, I cannot do that. So what if I have not, what if my behavior is not, has no patishta in dharma and adharma? My behavior is not contained by dharma and adharma. That's what they mean by apratishtam. My behavior is not contained by dharma and adharma. I don't believe any of that. And everybody lies. So, I lie, everybody lies. You think I'm the only one that lies? Everybody lies. So, and you know, if there's no adharma and adharma, I don't believe in any of this Ishwara either. Anishwaram. There's no Ishwara also. There's no overarching order, conscious intelligence, order to the creation, in which there would be something like dharma and adharma that rules it. Ishwara then would be the ruler of this. Somebody, you know, then there would be an order. Dharma and adharma has to do with the order of the creation, but that implies some sort of consciousness. I don't believe in any, some sort of order. Outside of the birth and death of this body, there's no other order. So I don't take any anishwara. It means that for me, there's no Ishwara. Or the Asura. No real Ishwara. Anishwara. Unnegates it. Then they say, aparaspara sambhutam. he says, one is born because of a man and a woman. This mutual, the birth takes place because of this mutual relationship between a man and a woman, right? And that relationship that produces a child, kimanyet, what else is that? He says, kama hetukam, other than being brought about by desire. Mm-hmm. You are born because a man and a woman made love because of desire, and they produced you. That's why you are here. It has nothing to do with dharma and adharma. It has nothing to do with punya and papa. It has nothing to do with reincarnation or the transmigration of the jiva. There's no higher order than this physical plane here. You were born because your parents made love, because they had a desire, sexual desire, and they produced you, and here you are. Right? So they're grounded in, that's called laukika. They're grounded, their whole drishti, as we'll see as we go on, their whole drishti, their whole vision is grounded in this physical reality. Nothing higher, nothing more. This physical reality, if you really think of it, you know, this physical reality, if you don't see it as a conscious entity, you know, then where really is dharma and adharma? There's just an inert creation, and I'm trying to make my way. I'm trying to make a life for myself. I'm trying to get the things that I want that will make me happy. It's all just physical. So we're just living totally on a physical plane. But even then, you know, there are a lot of people who are also like very secular and materialists or, you know, humanists who have values, who have high values. So here, those high values aren't there. There's that materialism with nothing higher, nothing at all higher than myself and the fulfillment of my desire. So that's the idea here. It's not that all people who are in science or people who don't accept any type of Ishwara, they also can have a value system. Mm-hmm. They can have a very strong value system, humanists. So this is more than that, you know. So asatyam, there's no truth. People, jagat, this world, is asatyam, everybody lies. It's a patishtam, it's not based in dharma, right? It's anishwaram. It's not governed by any lord, anything like that. You, yourself, that birth takes place just because of the desire between a man and a woman. That's all it is. Then he says, kim anyat. What else? What else would it be? Kim anyat. It's kind of sarcastic. Kim anyat. What else would it be? That's it. That's all there is. And so, this kama, and Shankara talks about this, and he says, he has this little quote in the commentary, says, kama eva praninam karanam, desire alone is the cause for the pranis to be born. It's just desire, sexual desire alone. It produces, your sexual desire produces beings. That's why kama, so kama is the cause for our birth, nothing more. So he says, lokayatika drishtihi. The lokayakas are the materialists. This is their vision. So let's go on, see what he says. Etam drishtimavashtamya, etam drishtimavashtamya, nashtatma no pabuddhiyaha, nashtatma no pabuddhiyaha, prabhavan, Chudkrakaramanaha, Kshayaya Jagato Hitaha, Kshayaya Jagato Hitaha, Etam Drishtim Avashtambya, Nashtatmanaha, Opa Buddhayaha, Prabhavanti Ugrakaramanaha, Kshayaya Jagataha Ahitaha. He says, talking about these asuras, So this is kind of continuing on from the last verse. Those who are, they're committed, or they're being committed to this vision, Etam Drishtim, the one that I just said, the Asatyam Apratishtam, seeing everything as there's no value for Satyam, there's no Dharma Adharma, there's no Ishwara, there's no higher meaning to everything, into anything. The only reason you're born is because your parents gave birth to you, that's it. So those who are being really contained, Etam Drishtim means this vision, Avashtambhya, they're having taken, having been committed to this vision, Nashtat Manaha, these people whose, it says, literally it says, the ones whose mind, their minds are destroyed. Their minds are destroyed because there's no Dharma. So Nashta Atmanaha, their minds are destroyed, Alpa Buddhiyaha, and their buddhi, their intellect, is alpa. It's very small, it's very weak. What Shankara says here, why he says, just to expand on this a little bit, when he says the Nishta Atmanaha, Atmanaha is in the nominative plural, it's the antikaran of the mind. The Atma, sometimes the mind, sometimes the body, sometimes Atma. So here, because Brahman, Atma is never destroyed. So here, if you Nishtat Manaha, means that person is destroyed. Nishta means to be destroyed. The person, that mind, that being, is destroyed. Why? Vibrashta Paraloka Sadhanaha. Because for them, all of the sadhanas of Dharma, all of the sadhanas, all of the values for those people to achieve a better loka or a higher loka or to gain knowledge, all of those are vibrashta. They're all cast aside. You know, all of the values and all of the dharmas that allow you to grow, to improve, to have moksha, to get a better life, to go to different, to higher lokas, get better births, all of those things are destroyed. They're all gone. Right? And so none of the driving forces in your mind because of your value system will lead to anything good. It just leads to farther and farther down the, in a deeper and deeper and deeper darkness, deeper and deeper adharma. So more painful mind and more painful births. Mm-hmm. So you're destroying yourself. This attitude is something that is kept going to destroy you. Destroy your wholeness, your fullness, your humanity, actually. So these people are nishtatmanaha. They're alpa buddhi. Their mind is very small. Because now what Shankara says, alpa buddhiya, buddhi means the intellect. It's alpa. It's weak. It's small. He says, this is how he talks about it. Their mind is very weak or little. It's little. Because it's vishya vishayaha. Vishya vishayaha. Vishayaha. Vishya means the sense objects. It also has another meaning. The vishya is the subject matter of something. The vishya is the range, like the vishya of my eyes. The range of my eyes are forms and color. The range of my ears, the vishya for my ears, are sounds. So the vishyas are the sense objects, and they're also the range of the sense objects, or the subject matter of the sense objects. So for these alpa buddhis, what their mind does, the range of their mind really, is just whatever is before me in terms of sense objects. It doesn't go any farther than the sense objects. So that's the subject matter of my buddhi. Just think of it. Your mind, the range of your mind is limited to this world that I perceive. So the vishyas are the sense objects, and the vishya vishya is that range of the range. So what is the range of my mind? Only the sense objects. That's the alpa. So it's small, it's little. It's very contained to whatever I can perceive. That's the only reality for me. So alpa eva buddhihi yesham hi alpa buddhiyaha. So these people, he says, who are really this with this type of vision, you're destroying your own life. You're destroying yourself as a jiva, actually. These people, Prabhavanti, he says, these people who are first, he says, Ugrakotamanaha, whose actions are cruel. Ugra means cruel. They're mean, and they're cruel. They're mean, cruel people. Their karmas, their behavior is filled with meanness. These people are born or arise for the sake of Kshaya Jagataha, for destroying the world. Kshaya Jagataha. They are, there's two things, Kshaya, Kshaya Jagataha. They are ones who destroy the world. They destroy others. And they are Jagata Ahitaha. Hita means to what is beneficial or what blesses is hitam. Like we say for vaktapas means what type of words should I say to another? Well, they should be, whatever you say, it should be satyam, it should be true, and it should be hitam. It should be beneficial. Ahitaha means it's not helpful, not beneficial. So they are not people who benefit or are helpful to the people of the world. And Shankara says, he just says they're shatruvaha, they're shatrus. They're the enemies of the enemies to the living beings. They're enemies of the people. They're enemies of the world. They're destroyers of the world. That's the asuras. And in being destroyers of the world, they're destroyers of themselves. Because they're not doing anything at all to grow or to transform themselves or to gain moksha or to gain shanti. They're on a downward spiral. Okay.
This is about as close to hell as
yeah, it's dark.
Never heard. Yeah.
Kamam ashrita dushpuram, kamam ashrita dushpuram, dambamana madanvitaha, dambamana madanvitaha, mohat grahitva sadgrahan, mohat grahitva sadgrahan, pravartante shuchivrataha, pravartante shuchipravrataha, kamam ashritya dushpuram, dambha mana madha anvitaha, mohat grahitva asat grahan, pravartante ashuchivrataha. Now he says, these people, kamam ashritya, they are committed to kama, their desire. So kamam ashritya, being committed to their desire, and their desire itself, is dushpuram. Pura means to fill. Dushpuram means it can't be filled. Desire, one desire leads to the next. Desire itself, by its very nature, is something that can never be satisfied. Right? You have a desire for one thing and you fulfill it, but the desire still remains. It just immediately transfers over to the next thing. That's why they have a word for desire, a word for that they use for fire. A name for fire is anala. Anala means, Allah means enough. Anala means not enough. So when you think of fire, desire, kama, is likened to fire because it's anala. Anala means for a fire. If you keep throwing ghee into the fire, you know, it just wants more. Right? You throw ghee into the fire, it sucks up the ghee and it wants more, and it wants more, and it wants more. And so the more you give the fire what it wants, you're throwing wood into it, you're throwing ghee into it, you're throwing, you know, kerosene into it, whatever you keep throwing. It just rages and rages and rages and wants more and more and more and more and more and more and more. There's never an end to its desire. So anala means it can't be satisfied. So desire also is like that. Kama is like that. It's anala. It's dushpuram. Very difficult to fulfill it. Because even as you fulfill it, the next desire comes. You know? So it's just like the sparks of a flame or the prongs of a flame, they just get more and more and more wanting to be satisfied. And these people are kamam, ashrit, yadushpam. They're committed to their desire, which can never be fulfilled. It's dushpuram. And these people who are like this are dumba, mana, madha, anvitaha. They are, anvitaha means they're riddled with dumba. Do you remember when we did the, in chapter 13, the amani, tvama, dumbi, tvama, himsa, all of the values? Dumba, instead of adumba, it's dumba. Dumba means is that I do whatever I can to, even if I don't have certain qualities, I pretend that I do. If I'm poor, I will borrow, say I'm poor and I'm going to a party of rich people, I'll borrow clothes and rent a car and borrow jewelry so that I can look as though I'm rich and pretend that I'm rich. Right? If I'm among scholars, I'll pretend that I'm a scholar. If I'm among whatever, I'll try to be that. I'll try to be that so that you'll respect me. It has nothing to do with what I am. It has to do with my trying to gain your respect, even though I don't really have those qualities. That's dumba. I'm faking it. I'm faking it so that you'll respect me. Mana is different. Mana means I do have some qualities, but I like to make sure everybody knows. You know, if I have some money, I have to make sure everybody knows I have money. I know some powerful people. I need to make sure that you all know that I'm friends with these powerful people. I'm name dropper. So even though those things are true, I'm so insecure that I need to bolster myself by telling all of the time. That's manitvam. These three, they're all kind of similar. They're different, but they're similar. The third one is madha. Madha means I take pride in what I do well. And in taking pride at what I do well, I compare myself positively with you. Right? So I'm very intelligent, you're not so intelligent. Even though we won't say it, that's the feeling. I've been very successful. I've made a lot of money in my life. You haven't. I come from a very wealthy, highly respected family. You don't. And so even though that's not said, it's not said, that it's thought, it's felt. And so that person is oozing out that, so you feel them doing that. So that's madha. So we have these three. Dumba, mana, madha, and vitaha. These people are wreaking these qualities. Dumba, mana, madha, and vitaha. They're riddled with those qualities. And then, these people who are riddled with these qualities, having committed themselves completely to kama, which itself can never be fulfilled, it's very difficult. Dushputam, difficult to impossible to fulfill. You can't fulfill kama, really. You'll get tired of it. Mohat, then it says, because of delusion, grahitva asadgrahan, they are grasping at things which are asadgraha, things that are gained which themselves are asat, they're meaningless, they really have no value. Asadgraha, the things that you think, you know, the things that you think are important, that have value for you, actually are empty. So the graha means something that you want to attain, right? Grahitva, going after these grahas, these things that we want to attain, but these grahas are asat, they're empty. They don't have any value in them. They're grahas, you have a value for them, they're like commitments or things that you want, you have a value for them, but they're asat, they're empty. They don't have any value. And so you're going after something with commitment, but then you don't get from that what you're hoping to get. So pravartante, and then they say asuchi vrataha. Asuci Vrataha means the people who have, they have, a vrata is like a vow. That's a resolve. But the resolves they have are asuci. They're not pure. The resolves they have are evil. The resolves they have are hurtful or negative resolves. And having these negative resolves, then purvartante, they are moving ahead, fulfilling their act, fulfilling, trying to fulfill, to act. They move ahead, acting on these resolves, on these vows that are adharmic. Asuci means impure. So, say, for instance, there's a lot of examples they use in the Shastra, like, I want something, but it belongs to somebody else. I want that, though. And so I make a resolve to get it, even though it means destroying what that person's possession, what they have. Or they have, it's another example they use, somebody owns land. They own land. It's their land. But I want that land. And so I will do whatever it takes to get that person off their land so that I can have the land. Tsongji's even talked about the same, how we came to America, to America.
Oh.
This wasn't our land. We stole this land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we slaughtered people for this land. That's asuci vrata. I want this. You have to leave. But it belonged to somebody else. Yeah. And so that's an asura. To do something like that is asuric. It's
mm-hmm.
you steal it, you know. You have all, you look at a country, you have all of this wealth, you have all of this oil, you have all of this whatever. We need that. And so we are going to get it, no matter what damage it causes. That's an asuci vrata. And then with that resolve, then I act upon it. Right? So there's no dharma in it. So with that asuci, these dark motives, impure motives, one proceeds going after these grahas. You can say these grahas, these desired objects, these objects of a desire, you can take it like this, that are aset, which means they're impure, they're not right, you know, or that they themselves are empty of any meaning. They're aset grahas. So why do I do it? Moha, because of moha. Moha is aviveka. There's no discrimination. Here it's not when we say aviveka, it's not the aviveka of a mumukshu. The aviveka, the non-discrimination of a mumukshu, is the non-discrimination between atma and atma,
mm-hmm.
between nitya and anitya, between the self and, you know, nitya. There's no discrimination there. The mumukshu needs that to gain that viveka. Here the aviveka is between dharma and adharma. There's no discrimination and there's no care. It's all about kama. It's all about the fulfilling of desire, the desires that I want to fulfill. Okay. So, are we doing one more? Chintam aparimeyancha. Chintam aparimeyancha. Pralayantam upashritaha. Pralayantam upashritaha. Kamo paboga paramaha. Kamo paboga paramaha. Etavat iti nishchitaha. Etavat iti nishchitaha. Chintam aparimeyam cha. Pralayantam upashritaha. Kama upaboga paramaha. Etavat iti nishchitaha. This etavat iti nishchitaha means for them, this is what is. Nishchita means this is the firm conviction. What is that? This is all that there is. What is that? How are these people? Chinta means worry or concerns. They have their worry. They're worried, they're concerned. They have concerns in their mind which are aparimeyam, countless. They have countless concerns, countless worries that pralayantam take them all the way to their death. They don't, the worries and the concerns don't go away till they die. They'll follow you all the way to your death. These people are upashritaha. These people, the upashritaha means they are totally devoted to their worry. Upashritaha means they can't get away, they can't release themselves, they can't get away from their worries, and their worries are countless. Aparimeyam. And they will go, they won't resolve until the end of one's life, so the person lives a life of worry. So then he says, Kama Upaboga Paramaha. They are people whose highest intent, what is parama, what is absolute for them, what is highest intent, is kama upaboga, the enjoyment of their desires. What is paramount for them is the enjoyment of their desires and their of the things that they desire. And so what happens with that is that anytime I desire anything that's external to myself, you know, any type of sense object, then there are many, many things that can obstruct the fulfillment of the desire. So either I'm worried about not being able to fulfill the desire, and then once I fulfill the desire, my ability to maintain it, right? So it's called yoga kshema. Yoga means my chinta, all of my worry is about whether I can get this. And then once I get it, the worry is kshema, whether I can keep it. There's one famous verse at the very end of the Gita. It's the one that we actually memorize. Or Bhagavan says, you know, let me be your yoga and kshema. I'll take care of your yoga. All of the things you need, let me take care of that. Let me get all that for you. And then let all of the things that you need to keep, let me take care of that. You don't worry about it. Let me take care of your yoga kshema. I'll take care of that. You know, surrender all of that to me. If I have to take care of all my yogic kshema and all I care about is fulfilling my desires, then it's a real burden. You know? It's never an end to it. There's never enough money, there's never enough power, you know, there's never enough anything. And everything is insecure and everything is subject to loss. So everything has to be managed. It's a problem, you know. The Swamiji's talked before and seen so many ways. No matter how much you have, somebody has more. No matter how much power you have, somebody has more. And so you're always, no matter how beautiful you are, somebody's more beautiful. And so you can never, if your whole drishti is, your whole vision is on, you know, all this type of accruing wealth and being satisfied with what you have, it's very, very difficult, you know, because somebody else has more. So these parties, it's really interesting. You know, like if you see the Academy Awards and things like that, after that, I like all those people and everything, they're fine. But it's a hard life. It's a hard life because it's very, very, very superficial, you know. And it's all about beauty and wealth and money and who has the most beautiful family and who has the most beautiful children, the most beautiful clothes, who's the most respected, who is the most famous in terms of the as an actor or actress, who's the most revered. And everybody's having to walk around in that world. It's a very, very sad.
And it doesn't last.
It doesn't last. It's a very sad, empty world. And so it's filled with just chinta, this type of concern. How am I going to manage? You know, what if their whole value system is only that? I'm so superficial. How am I going to manage that? How am I going to keep it going? How to keep it going? You know, it's not a happy situation. But for such people, he says, etavat. Etavat means this is all it is. There's nothing more. Nishchitaha means, you know, we talked about having jnana nishta. Jnana nishta means you have nishta in your knowledge. You mean it's a firmness. You're clear. Here, their nishta, nishchitaha, means that they're very clear that this is what it's about and nothing more. Etava means this is it. Like if I were to say, what's the most important thing in life? This is it. What is it? Satisfying my desires. You know, this kama upaboga paramaha. There's nothing more important to me than enjoying. Upaboga means to enjoy. Enjoying my desires. That's what it is. And such a person then has a lot of worries, a lot of chinta, because all of these desires are away from me and they're finite, right? They're subject to change. They're also subject to theft, right? They're also subject to my not wanting them anymore. So all kinds of problems come up, and so it causes chintam aparimeyam. Aparimeyam means countless. The chinta, the worries that you have, are endless. It's a big word he's using. The worry that you have is endless. There's no way to resolve all of it. So, okay, that's enough Asura talk for tonight.
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Such a hard time.
Seems like a tough job sometimes.
I don't think it's that easy, actually.
Huh?
I don't think it's a very easy life in some ways. It is fun. You can have all of that. If you have Dharma, it doesn't matter if you have all of that, it'll be fun. And if you have none of it, it'll be good too. If you have Dharma. But if the whole value system is externalized like that, you know, that's what makes it kind of a terrible, very shallow, hurtful life.
There's a lot of desperation.
A lot of despair.
Yeah, because yeah. they have to keep up, you know,
keep
their
it up.
Looks and keep up their body and keep up their skill. And one minute
keep up
you're
their popularity.
In, the next minute you're out.
Yeah. But then there's certain people, I mean, there's people in that world that are very beautiful and dharmic also,
mm-hmm.
and who know the whole thing, like Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, once Meryl Streep said, we never really know when we're going to get our next job. You have to be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really where you're placed. It's the value system, you know, that's crippling.
You know, I find it interesting, you know, even if one just kind of examines one's own life, you know, it seems like this is like a magnifying glass on one's own life.
You have both. We all have both. It's just what's dominant.
Right, and I'm just saying, it seems like the experience I have with this is, it's like a flashlight that looks into like every little corner, you know, and puts a light on it and says, well, how are you aligned with this, you know? And this is kind of like, it's a really, it's a real deep invitation to find that own authentic self, you know, with that honesty. Instead of just saying, oh yeah, they are out there, the asuras, you know, but actually whereas I have the courage to look at the asura inside oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where really I feel like the tire hits the road for me with this.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like it's very strong.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you think like, wow, you're really aligned in so many ways, you still find these dark places in your own psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere. And they're not really you, though. It seems like they're not really mine, but they're kind of collectively, I have adapted them, you know, or I've adapted certain values, and they're part of my life, and suddenly I look at them, and like now,
well,
and I might actually see something deeper.
But the whole point, I think the whole point, and then that's exactly what Krishna tells Arjuna, is that you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry because your drishti is to transform those values.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see them in yourself, what you want to do is work on them, to resolve them.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you an asura, really, is if those values, if you don't have that value to transform.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, you know. Because we all have all of these problems, to greater or some you have more, some you have less, some you are very minimal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know what they are,
mm-hmm.
you know. So those they're all there.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you had a value for them? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Something to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
Something that this is the reality. This is how it is. And so this is how I'm going to be, because this is how it is. I'm this way, you're this way, and I'll get what I can. And there's nobody inside to work on it as a problem. That's why Krishna told Arjuna, don't worry. You see all these things in yourself, but you work on them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not an asura. You're an asura if you have a value for the value. You have a value for the asuric value. That's what makes you an asura.
It's
right?
True. But there's also a grief, I think, that one taps into collectively because one realizes how asuric this world is also in which we live, how corrupted and the depths of illusion and of avidya. And it's powerful, you know? It's just a...
It's a hard, hard time of Kali Yuga.
So
it's so hard right now that the world has very little time left unless Bhagavan really steps in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavan has to step in now. It's such a serious thing. That's where you have to... It's time for an avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be like headed for the hills and start like doing prepper stuff, stashing food and water?
I don't think it's quite that, but I do think I do think that it's time to speak out.
Yeah.
It's time to speak out and to also each one of us do the things that we can. Because that, you know, that's what helps us to reach a tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you make some change or adjustment or you talk to somebody, then that influences them in some way and then they deal with it and then they do it and it goes around the world, you know?
No, Rod, one thing that makes this sort of a bit seem intractable is that usually... asuras don't really think they're asuras. And they usually think they're devas. So, for example, you know, in the period of colonialism, they felt they were doing a good thing. They were bringing Christianity and civilization to the savages, you know, and so on and so forth. And even today, you know, like some of the most adamant laissez-faire capitalists, let's say.
Yeah.
They feel that actually is going to be the best. It will weed out what is unproductive and isn't helpful. It's evolutionary and so forth to, you know, you can't make an omelet without cracking some eggs, et cetera, et cetera. You know,
yeah.
So they actually think they're doing something good often, or they fool themselves, or it's sometimes very complicated. It's hard to, they have their perspective on why what they're doing is actually the right thing. And we do that with ourselves too, right? We fool ourselves. We often deceive ourselves. In this case, you know, when you see it clearly, if you're honest, you see it clearly, it's pretty clear that there are sort of these two sides to us that are kind of battling each other in a way,
yeah.
But sometimes it's not so obvious.
I think it's not obvious because we're so deep underground, underwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And, you know, so underwater that it's, there's just so much confusion. It's, even in the religions, it's all totally messy and confused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really problematic. But on another level, it's simple. It's so simple. It's ahimsa. It's the golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If the golden rule is very, very simple, you know.
But like even in the Mahabharata, you know, it was kind of complicated.
It's complicated, but but on one level, I still, it's simple. So what are you thinking in the Mahabharata that is complicated?
Well, you know, like, I mean, just this whole situation where, like, Arjuna was going to have to kill his guru, for example.
Yeah.
That's clearly not a good thing to do.
Yeah.
But under those
yeah.
circumstances, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And so it was a very complicated.
That's very complicated. You're right. Yeah. That's why it says in the Taittiriya, you know, when in doubt about Dharma, go to a wise person of your time.
Yeah.
And he went to Krishna.
Krishna.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's like in being.
Because if you tell someone, you know, if you could, it would be easy if you could just say, you know, obviously you're just letting your desire and your greed get the better of you, and you know this isn't really the right thing to do, but usually that doesn't work so easily because they think that they're actually doing, or they've convinced themselves that they're doing the right thing. Anyway, I'm not trying to make it more depressing or anything. I'm just saying that it's, you know, this is for didactic purposes, it's making things very clear in black and white. And in some sense, it is clear in black and white, but in the world, when you deal with these things, it's almost never quite so clear in black and white.
But it's one reason it's not clear, though, is that, like, in the last verse, it said that. Etavat iti nischayaha. What that means, nischitaha, it means that they are absolutely convinced that this is right,
mm-hmm.
that this is the right thing.
Yeah.
And so there's all kinds of logic built around it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I've been dealing with some people like this lately, so maybe that's my thing.
No, I mean, I have it in my own family,
yeah.
this type of thing, that it's really. There's nothing to say. There's nothing that anyone can say because they feel absolutely justified.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, in something that I myself can't see it that way at all. But they see it and they're very, very, very defensive and very angry about it also.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Very justified.
So, as we got into that sort of versus it seems like you know, the presentation is extremely intense and dark. And,
yeah, it's black and white
and
right
it's
now.
Just way over
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And like I think what Hassel's referring to is are we to then like take those negative things and try to see those traces in ourselves and wipe them out, or are we to acknowledge like Arjuna's Krishna said to Arjuna, look, You're not on that path. You're trying for the spiritual, so don't worry about that. Or should we do some of both?
No, it's not. It's not exactly don't. It's not about worrying about it. It's that it has to do with recognition and transforming it. Because mm-hmm. what he was telling to Arjun is, you don't have a value for these things.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see them.
Okay.
You'll see them, but then you have to work on them. But he says you are somebody who wants to work on them. That's the difference.
They're there.
For
all of us.
Yeah. But then, they're there in some form or another.
At the same time, Bhagavan says, I'll take care of your yoga and shema.
Right, but he's...
What's the context?
In that context is, you know, talking to the mumukshu, you know, give all to the sannyasi, give all those responsibilities, yoga, shema, to me, you know, and then you live your life. Because actually, for jnani, the prarabdha karma takes care of everything. You know, the prarabdha karma will take you from your birth all the way to your death. That's all Ishvara, you know. So Ishvara says, let me give you your life. I will give you your life. And so you live it. Let me give it to you. You live it. You know, so surrender that to me.
But you're more than your prarabdha karma.
Well, yeah, but in terms of the things that come your way and on a physical level,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Say we worry about what's going to happen tomorrow and what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to me. And Bhagavan says,
right.
I'm take care of your whole life from birth to death.
Yeah.
Let me take care of that. You live your life.
and then he's saying to Arjuna that, you know, work on these values. You know, there seems to be a...
It's bringing consciousness. See, the thing is, if you bring consciousness to all the good values, the Amani, Toma, Dambi, Toma, Himsa, you contemplate on all of those. And then you contemplate on the negative ones also. So that those also, as they arise in you, you're conscious of them. But the reason you want to be conscious of them is so you can transform them.
Yeah.
You know, so that you can do something with them. So you can say, ah, you know, that's not... that's not the route I want to take. And when he goes through all of these things, then it's just making it very clear. He's giving us a lot of them.
It's pretty humbling, you know, I think on a very deep level. Let's put it that way.
I think it's helpful just to have both sides. You know, and then as the different emotions and different ways of reacting and different kinds of worries that you have and all of that, as they come up, then you have kind of a template. Oh, this is that, you know. And you have a way of holding it that's useful. Otherwise, these things kind of slip by unnoticed, or they can slip by unnoticed. They cause pain.
I think it's just like a magnifying glass blowing up the self-perpetuated suffering also aspect, you know, of the whole story. It's just like how what I contribute actively to my own mess, you know, in my own psyche, where I'm still stuck, where I'm still adamic, where I'm still have adopted collective values that aren't really my values, where I still haven't taken a stand, where I'm not still authentic, living my own strengths from my own core and really making the change that I want to see in the world. And you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Layers and layers. It's huge. So it's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this just blows this door open. And suddenly there's this new vista that was kind of there. But suddenly I'm wearing different glasses or something.
And pay more attention.
Yeah, it's a more three-dimensional vision suddenly or something. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's interesting.
You know, recently in the one thing Swamiji had said, it was a few verses back, he was talking about compassion. And what he said was, compassion is a quality that has to be acted upon.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That if you feel compassion for someone or something has happened, you have to actually do something. And if you don't do something, then that compassion isn't being exercise, fulfill. It's not being fulfilled. It's not being exercised. And then you will feel guilt, actually. You know? But I don't know, I really thought about it like that. But I think that's so, so valuable to think about. Like these values have to be acted upon when the time comes. You know, you have to live that value. And when a negative one comes, you have to look at it and be conscious about it and do the pratipaksha bhavana. Do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know? Because there it is. There's the problem right there. And the thing is, sometimes when these problems are there, it seems too much to deal with it. And so you'd rather just have the problem than actually do what it takes to take the action to change it. And so that takes, because it's an action you have to do, you know, something you have to do to make that change, and that takes energy and kind of a commitment, and you have to overcome the very reason that you don't want to do it, you know. And so that's work. You know, it takes a commitment. It's a spiritual commitment, or whatever word you want to use, you know. But we'll let things ride. Let these things ride and let them ride and let. But at some point, you'll say, "Okay, I have to deal with this," you know, and put in the time and energy that it takes to do the hard thing. Not doing it is hard, and the not doing it is really harder.
Pain keeps going.
Yeah, but getting the energy up to do the right thing that you know you should do. It's hard to get that energy up, but once you do get the energy up to do it, then that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you feel glad. So.
The inertia.
Inertia.
It's a
certain kind of inertia.
And
yeah.
Once you get going.
Yeah.
But it is time for an avatar, I think. I mean,
we need an avatar for the Earth.
Yeah, because it's frying.
Yeah,
they said 30 up on the in the Sierras. We only have 33% of our usual snowpack. Yeah.
Actually, we only have 9% left that we usually have at the same time. 9% of it. But at what we have usually at this time, we have 9% of what we usually have at this time.
But we have 99% of rainfall in Marin.
What?
99% of annual rainfall in Marin.
You got 99%?
Yeah. I mean, Marin is. It's not Marin is not the problem. I'm just saying it's interesting.
Yeah.
California is a problem. That drought is still there, but actually it has rained so much recently.
That it filled up all of the water?
Yeah, it's just 99%. I just talked to somebody today.
Really? That's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's not California, right? I mean,
no, it's not California.
But in the Bay Area specifically, I don't know how that applies to, you know, which is a bigger Bay Area, but Marin, the reservoirs are full. So it's interesting, huh?
Frightening.
You don't even think about it coming over. Man. You got eyes.
It's hard to say.
Oh my God.
Here we go. A water war.
I'm talking about the whole earth, though. We should be praying for it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The ocean.
Praying for the ocean, praying for the earth to sort of, to live.
But, Radha, didn't you say that you were going to ask Swamiji what kind of a monk to
do? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Okay.
We have the one, but it's too long to chant as a mantra.
Yeah.
Trayambakan is a beautiful mantra for now until I get okay. specific one.
Rambika can be used pretty much.
I'm using it for that. I'm saying that yes, you can. Until I get a better one.
You can use it kind of for almost anything in a way, right?
It has to do with yes. trying to bring a life back.
For bringing life back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah. That's what it's usually used for. Okay. So I thought we could do it for the earth because they didn't have another one to do.
Do you think there is one, or will we
Oh, yeah, no, there will be something.
Make one up.
There'll be one. There'll be something. Yeah.
Maybe that could be your mission when you're over there.
But, anyway, yeah, I mean, I'll get something when I go there.
Yeah.
When are you going?
You know what, I'm not sure. It's either doubtfully going to be the end of May, very doubtfully, but it'll probably be in July, beginning of July.
Oh, really? Oh,
that's what I did last year. Just for a week, I might go directly from Sweden this time.
Just for a week?
Just for a week, yeah. Uh-huh. I can't do more this time. But I want to see Swamiji, because I don't think he'll be coming to the... He won't be coming to the West, to here, to the, no way.
Mm.
He's not coming to Salesburg, is that him?
I really, really doubt it. I mean, it's possible, but
how
I don't
is he doing
so.
Now? Is he?
He's still very weak, but he's home and he's better.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that. I don't know that he'll get so better that he'll decide that he can still travel around. I'm not sure that that's in the cards anymore.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of energy to fly.
It takes a lot of energy, and he doesn't really have that. You know, I mean, we'll see, but I don't think he feels very
capable.
No, and I think he just keeps open. He never thinks of himself as capable or not capable. But just see. You'll have to go there. That's what it amounts to. At some point, you have to go there. Yeah.
Wasn't that what Hal's doing?
Yeah, Hal's doing it. We'll be following Hal.
He's our representative.
And then Martina's.
Yeah.
She might be there by now.